Indie Media is DIY news. It is about people reporting their own news directly without the need for reporters, bypassing the corporate media.
There are 100 Indie Media or IMC websites worldwide providing grassroots reports of struggles, campaigns and protests.
There are so many people here who are saying no to the government today, and this is democracy in action.
Everybody's here. Everybody in the country seems to be here. They're just coming from all over the place. The banners are showing all the tiny, tiny little pockets of the country. Everybody has come down here.
The project started 3 years ago covering the massive Seattle protests which shut down the World Trade Organization summit.
Uncensored and unsponsored, IMC sites can be updated anywhere, anytime, by anyone.
The open-to-all nature of these sites means that you can publish your own reports about your own issues and at the same time connect to a global network of grassroots news. What you are about to hear are some highlights from these global websites and from our very own UK IMC Wire. For more information or to get the news direct from the streets, check out www.indiemedia.org.uk.
The world is waking outside my window. Bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao, ciao, ciao. Drives my senses into the sunlight. For there are things that I must do. Wish me luck now. Ciao, bella, ciao, bella, ciao, ciao, ciao. With my friends now, up to the city. We're gonna shake the gates of hell. And I will tell them, we will tell them. Bella, ciao, bella, ciao, bella, ciao, ciao, ciao. That our sunlight is not for franchise. I wish the bastards dropped down dead. Next time you see me, I may be smiling.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the Indie Media Show. Once again, it's a Wednesday.
It comes around again very quickly, doesn't it? It's Resonance 104.4 FM. You're listening to the Indie Media Radio London show. We're here every week on Wednesdays from 1 p.m. Coming up on this week's show, we've got a campaigner from Compassion in World Farming who's going to be talking about what goes on behind the scenes to bring that turkey, amongst other things, onto your dinner plate. We're also going to be speaking from campaigners at the World Summit on Information Society, rather cryptically named conference taking place in Geneva right now, at which there is, of course, a counter-summit of various campaigners. We'll be talking to one of them, hopefully, in a live radio phone-in in about 20 minutes. Also coming up on the show, a roundup of stories from the Indie Media UK Newswire. If you don't believe us or if you don't want to hear our voices say it and rather read it for yourself, check it all out on the Indie Media UK Newswire, www.indiemedia.org.uk.
And now we have a story. It says Colchester School Kids. And last Friday, Colchester School Kids rose up in revolt and demanded their rights. Around 300 students at St Helena School, Colchester, walked out of lessons, demonstrated, ran amok and caused general mayhem. The protest stayed within school grounds for half an hour or so. But as time wore on, St Helena kids realised that parading round the back of the school would not do and rushed onto the road to make their protest more clearly. The protests have been a reaction to plans by the school to merge tutor groups, or as the students see it, split up classes and classmates into divided houses. The school council was informed rather than consulted, and the kids were given a like or lump it attitude by the authorities. Last Friday, there were shouts of strike, 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 and we will not be moved, as kids rushed round their teachers who helplessly looked on and tried to gain some sort of command over them. Burning school ties, blocking the road, the best of these protesters were not going to be moved and were learning strategy and tactics as they marched, blockaded and sang. After 2 hours of protest, some of the kids had gone back for dinner and plans were afoot as to how to take the protest forward. One girl shouted, "If they don't give us what we want, then this is round one. Round two begins on Monday." This action follows Colchester school students staging strikes and roadblocks against the war on Iraq earlier in the year.
And in Huntingdon this week, around 400 people of all ages, classes, races and abilities assembled in Huntingdon to give, they said, a clear message that institutionalised animal torture will not be tolerated. The protesters began assembling in Riverside Car Park around midday, where they were greeted by police officers thrusting video cameras into their faces as they left their vehicles.
As they do, and
a police helicopter circling overhead. The protesters had animal rights merchandise and vegan food and watched videos played on a mobile screen which showed footage from inside the infamous Huntington Life Science Laboratory, including images of beagle puppies being punched and sworn at as they screamed in terror.
Oof.
Insane. There was a speech by Stop Huntington Animal Cruelty organiser Greg Avery, who revealed that he was late after stopping to help an Alsatian dog run loose on the motorway. He noted out the parallel between many motorists who saw the dog but looked away or could not be bothered to stop, and the people who live close to Huntington Life Sciences and do nothing to stop their animal abuse. He pointed out that these were the people who would also have turned a blind eye to make excuses for the past atrocities, such as the slave trade. The protesters set off on a loud march around the city, banging drums, blowing whistles, chanting and waving banners in a peaceful protest, despite hundreds of police who pushed the protesters around and refused to let them hand out leaflets to passers-by.
Stay tuned. We're going to be talking very shortly with a campaigner looking at the farming side of our wonderful relationship with the animal world. Resonance 104.4 FM. This is Indie Media Radio, London.
Ragazones son más Celle sigue dédiée à qui vous savez Pas la peine, pas le peine de les nommer Un d'aller me guetter quel vin pour animer
What's on on
Oh nana oh Faut pas me prendre pour un âne Tu ne respectes ni l'homme ni la femme Écoute ce style J'ai pas une des ballons Tu ne me feras pas croire que tu respectes la femme et l'homme
again, 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 again.
Faut pas me prendre pour un âne Tu ne respectes ni l'homme ni la femme Écoute ce style Je suis pas une des ballonnes, tu ne me feras pas croire que tu respectes la femme et l'homme.
Tu prends le micro, surtout ne change pas le programme.
Tu respectes pas l'homme et tu ne respectes pas la femme. Tu rentres pas dans les idées de peur de te faire guébrer. Chez toi y'a pas de bande et chez toi y'a pas de scala. Tu peux pas ressentir ce que ressent un jeune chez moi. Parle de ce que tu veux mais parle pas de ce que tu connais pas. Si la vie est dure, c'est que Dieu l'a voulu comme ça. Je ne sais pas comment tout cela un jour finira. Well, well, faut pas me prendre pour un âne. Tu ne respectes ni l'homme ni la femme, écoute ce style. Je suis pas une des ballonnes, tu ne me feras pas croire que tu respectes la femme et l'homme.
Again, 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 again.
Faut pas me prendre pour un âne, tu ne respectes ni l'homme ni la femme, écoute ce style. Je suis pas une des ballonnes, tu ne me feras pas croire que tu respectes la femme et l'homme. Tu crois que je vais rester assis dans mon bloc à attendre que la vie passe pendant que tu rendosses la caillasse. Mais ce ne sera pas comme dans l'impasse Plutôt comme dans l'âge des as C'est bien fait pour ta face Tu me laisses dans l'angoisse Pour des caisses où je fais des casses Mon nom c'est JR et mon quartier s'appelle Dallas Bonjour le business, adieu l'homme hélas Ce n'est pas que j'en suis fier Mais je n'ai guère le choix hélas Faut pas me prendre pour un âne Je ne respecte
écoute ce style. Je suis pas une des ballonnes, je me frappe à croire que tu respectes la femme et l'homme.
Again, 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 again.
Faut pas me prendre pour un âne, tu ne respectes ni l'homme ni la femme. Écoute ce style. Je suis pas une des ballonnes, tu ne me frappe à croire que tu respectes la femme et l'homme. Tous les jours, toutes les semaines, tous les mois, toutes les années. L'avenir est dans tes mains, à toi de bien le gérer. Si le terrain est miné, c'est normal, c'est fait exprès. C'est fait pour que tu saches un peu plus cogiter. Entre toi et lui, devine qui est le danger. Ragasson, égo, micro, personne ne peut nous arrêter. Si tu peux nous arrêter, tu peux toujours essayer. Tu seras pas le premier et tu seras pas le dernier. Well, well, faut pas me prendre pour un âne. Tu ne respectes ni l'homme ni la femme. Écoute ce style, je passe une des ballons. Tu ne me feras pas croire que tu respectes la femme et l'homme.
Again, 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 again.
Faut pas me prendre pour un âne. Tu ne respectes ni l'homme ni la femme. Écoute ce style, je passe une des ballons. Tu ne me feras pas croire que tu respectes la femme et l'homme. La capitale est au bon milieu d'un cercle de feu. S'il fallait le nommer, ce serait la banlieue. Si tu vis dans le 16e, tu n'as pas de chance, vieux. Quand se le descend au lieu, pas grâce à l'exemple système. Anime si tu le veux. Si tu ne veux pas, c'est la même. T'es les big bad pour la break again, les cultivés feu. Même si je peux lire, c'est du sérieux, ça fait frémir. Alors tant mieux, ça vient du cœur de la banlieue. C'est la haine des gosses et la rancœur des vieux messieurs. Faut pas me prendre pour un âne, tu ne respectes ni l'homme ni la femme. Écoute ce style, j'ai pas une des ballons. Tu ne me feras pas croire que tu respectes la femme et l'homme.
Again, 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 again.
Faut pas me prendre pour un âne. Tu ne respectes ni l'homme ni la femme. Écoute ce style, j'ai pas une des ballons. Tu ne me feras pas croire que tu respectes la femme et l'homme.
Again, 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 again.
Faut pas me prendre pour un âne. Tu ne respectes ni l'homme ni la femme. Écoute ce style, j'ai pas une des ballons. Tu ne me feras pas croire que tu respectes la femme et l'homme.
Again, again.
Two, one, two.
Yeah,
this is Michael Franti here from Spearhead, and you're listening to Indie Media's London Radio, connecting London with the rest of the planet. Stand firm, stay human, hold the vibes, and give the corporation some complications.
Hey, you're still listening to Resonance 104.4, the Indie Media Radio Show. I would just like you to know that if you want to make any comments or on anything that's going on in the programme, then you can contact us. I can't remember the address right now, but I'll give it to you again. But do get your pens and papers ready. And also, you're going to need them because we're doing an interview now with...
Yeah, now we've got an interview with Kerry from Compassion in World Farming. The idea is that shopping for Christmas, well, cruelty in the countryside doesn't end with fox hunting or live animal testing. So let's have a chat.
Hi.
Hello.
Okay. Thanks very much for inviting me here. It's great to be here. I'd like to talk perhaps a little bit about what's happening in the run-up to Christmas. Yeah. Now, 2 weeks before Christmas, is the time when many people are thinking about buying their turkeys for the dinner plate on Christmas Day. How many people actually do think about where their turkeys have come from and how they've been reared and how they've been slaughtered?
Yeah, it's quite an issue. An aunt of mine had a turkey farm. And I actually got to see firsthand the intense amount of turkeys that never saw daylight.
Absolutely.
In a room squished together, and we didn't have much room to run around. Actually, there were dead turkeys in there as well.
Absolutely.
And they didn't sound very happy. What I mean, that's a long time ago. I wonder.
No, nothing has changed. In fact, if anything, it's got worse. The majority of turkeys reared in the UK, particularly for the Christmas period, are reared in crowded, barren, windowless sheds where they grow very big, very fast, have very little to entertain themselves. And often resort to feather pecking each other. Very often cannibalism. You see them eating each other.
That's actually what I saw. I saw a lot of birds with no feathers on them, and birds resorting to eating the dead birds that were on the ground.
Absolutely. One of the main problems is that they've been bred turkeys over the years, selectively bred to produce abnormally large breasts, which their legs can't actually cope with. So many of them suffer leg problems. Hip disorders, especially the male turkeys, which are very much heavier than the females. So there are an enormous amount of worries about the welfare of turkeys in the run-up to Christmas.
Is there not an EU legislation governing some kind of stopping of this kind of farming?
There are stocking densities, recommended stocking densities, etc. But very often this isn't policed as far as it could be. And turkeys do end up living in these terrible conditions.
So how can people find out if the turkey they're eating this Christmas, which I'm sure we're listening to, all our listeners are vegetarians, of course, but if in case they're not...
Well, there are alternatives. Even if, you know, you're a vegetarian yourself, you obviously know people who are going to eat turkey. Try and persuade them to buy free-range or organic, where stocking densities are much less. The animals live outside for part of their lives. They get the choice to go inside when weather is, when there are adverse weather conditions. And you'll know that your turkey, before it's ended up on your dinner plate, has actually led a much better life than one that's been factory farmed.
And it's not just turkeys, though, is it, that you guys deal with?
No, we're very concerned, especially at the moment, about the transport of live animals. Animals are transported for very long distances all over the world. We're very much concerned with the situation in Europe at the moment, and we're looking for an 8-hour limit to be imposed on journeys of live animals across Europe. At the moment, they can travel for between 36 to 48 hours in terrible conditions, very cold in the winter, very hot in the summer, which causes an enormous amount of suffering.
And I'm sure death as well in transport.
Absolutely.
There was quite a lot of protesting going on a few years ago about this. I mean, I know one woman even got killed in the process at one of the
That's
demonstrations.
Right, that was absolutely dreadful. We've been holding regular monthly demos at Dover Eastern Docks for the last year on the first Saturday of every month, and they will continue. So anyone who's interested in coming along every first Saturday of the month between 12 and 3 p.m, there's a demonstration against live transport at Dover. And we also are appealing to the Irish government, who are taking on the presidency of the EU in the beginning of January, to support an 8-hour limit. And we'll be holding a demonstration this January on the 8th.
On the 8th of January. And the Irish embassy is... what's the...
17 Grosvenor Place. 17. In London, for those of us there.
That's Thursday the 8th of January between 1 and 3 p.m.
But what are the main obstacles? Because, as you said, this is a campaign that's been running a long time, and these issues, anyone who's seen the videos will be horrified by it, and I can't imagine there are many shoppers out there happily, knowingly buying this stuff. But what are the main obstacles? Who's stopping you?
It's legislation. There's currently a proposed directive from the EU, which doesn't go as far as we'd like it to, which is why we're pushing for an 8-hour limit and lobbying the EU to support this 8-hour limit, and in particular asking the EU, the Irish presidency of the EU, which begins in January, to support this and get this through in the next 6 months.
And what about the supermarkets? Have they been very keen to take up this issue? I mean, Marks and Spencer's is proud of saying it's got free-range eggs, but, you know...
Absolutely. We work very closely with the supermarkets. In fact, we produce an annual supermarket survey, which measures supermarkets in various aspects of welfare. If anyone's interested in receiving this report, they can go to our website or give us a call at Compassion and World Farming on 01730 264 208 and get a hard copy of it. Last year, Marks and Spencer's, as you say, performed very well and do adhere to various animal welfare standards. This year, Waitrose actually topped the top 10 supermarkets and have made some fantastic improvements and great strides in welfare.
So what does that actually mean they're doing? I mean, are they acknowledging the bad conditions that the animals have been held in and not keeping any of these animals, or are they just not keeping as many as other supermarkets?
Many of the supermarkets are actually going further than government guidelines, so they're making a real concerted effort, realising that there is a problem, and going further than what is recommended in terms of perhaps journey times to slaughter or policies on mutilation, such as de-beaking in chickens and turkeys, etc.
Would you like to give us your website address there?
Yeah. Anyone's interested in any more information, you can go to www.ciwf.org. www.greenpeace.co.uk, and you'll find information there on all of our campaigns.
Thanks very much, Kerry.
Thank you. Thanks.
موجوده دخنه عتمه السما خلي يقطع معي صوب الجبل نطلع على البحر على بقاه نتذكر انه خلقنا هنا الحكمه تحت احلى السما نقضي وقتنا نفكر احيا الله من اسكندريه لبيروت العتيقه لبيروت البريئه على المتوسط ما في غير لغه لغه وحيده صوت الفنانه شرقيه احلى غنوه منين مع قلب القوي عايشين في هالدنيا عطتوني الدواء كرمل جسمي وأمالي دقت عم قلبي من هالوقت يا خالتي الحنيني ما فيني عيش بالعتم وهلا صرت فهمن خلي الهوا ياخدنا سرعنا بهالأرض القوية أحلى في دنيا يعني
back with Indie Media Radio London. We're broadcasting live on Resonance 104.4 FM. Thanks again to Kerry from Compassion and World Farming for coming into the studio today. Some really great information there. And it's really good to hear that there are places where we can go to get, animal-friendly meat if we are going to eat it, which, of course, some people in the studio would say we shouldn't.
No.
But anyway, if you want...
Don't eat the animals, because they're our friends.
Enough already. If you want some more information about Compassion and World Farming, check out their website. It's www.ciwf.co.uk. All right, moving on now to WISIS, the World Summit on Information Society, or other cryptically named. It's taking place in Geneva right now until the 12th of December. The official agenda of this UN ITU summit talks about free access to information and the digital divide and equality of opportunities. That, they say, is what they're going to be talking about for the next few days. Campaigners, however, say that in reality, its doors are closed, its discussions exclusive, and the agendas of those who attend it are concealed. What's more, they're saying that the right to demonstrate and protest has been suspended in Geneva, which it was quite recently for the G8 summit. Now, a kind of alternative counter-conference has been set up in Geneva by Geneva 03, which is a temporary network of groups and individuals who've set up to carry out agitational, educational and communications work during during the WSIS meetings over the next few days. Calling themselves We Seas, the strategic conference will take the form of 2 days of open discussions and short presentations where Genevans, WSIS delegates, NGO members and info activists are all welcome to join the debate. The conference is intended to allow everyone involved to explore the key issues in information politics today and to gain a better understanding of this fledgling movement. The conference all kicked off last Monday with a press conference at which the text of the press release was presented, illustrating the main points of his discontent with the official discussions. The main point is the official agenda of the UN summit talks about free access to information, the digital divide and equality of opportunities, whereas in reality its doors are closed. Today,
we're now going to speak with Dave, who sometimes works on this show and is an Indie Media UK activist. He's actually in Geneva taking part in the YSIS summit. Hello, Dave. Can we hear you?
Hi there.
Hiya. So what's been happening so far?
Well, the strategic conference that was part of the WSIS platform should have started yesterday, as should have a polymedia lab, which was a kind of open access experimental space, another discussion space that was open to the public. Both those things got stuffed over yesterday when there was what many people have been calling a police raid on a building that was to house the polymedia lab where people were setting up. It wasn't really so much of a raid, it was more of an eviction. But what happened was three van loads of riot police arrived at the building, entered the building, identified, demanded ID from the people inside, and then told them they had 10 minutes to get out. People objected to this, and so the situation became quite tense for a short while, and they were held inside the building while sort of people involved in other other conferences, in fact people from the main WSIS conference, actually when they heard the news, a lot of them jumped on the train and came back into Geneva to show as a sign of support against what was happening. A lot of people gathered outside the building while the maybe 10 individuals were still inside with the police. And then that sort of started a lengthy negotiation process, which lasted for the rest of the day. People did eventually leave the building after they had been offered a different space by the police and local authorities. However, when people packed up all of their equipment, which they'd been installing there, and went to this new location, the people at the new venue denied all knowledge of any arrangement having been made. So people were left at the 11th hour feeling both very angry, frustrated, but also feeling betrayed by the Geneva authorities. Negotiations continued as people held an emergency meeting to try and work out what to do about this, to come up with contingency plans. And the good news is that through the night the negotiations were successful and a new venue has been provided for the Polymedia Lab, which is around the corner from another one of the spaces called Lusine, which is being used. So The Polymedia Lab is going ahead. People are now in the new building. The Swiss authorities have spent a lot of money now on securing this very nice big space and putting in, this morning they put in a very fast internet connection in there. So they pumped a reasonable amount of money into this. But of course nothing compared to the amount of money that they've been shelling out for the entire WSIS summit. I think it's clear that the authorities realised how embarrassing this situation was going to be for them, given that the World Summit on Information Society is talking about free access to communication and communication rights and so on, that they were shutting down pretty much the main critical voice on the outside of the main official agenda. So that's good news, and it all seems to be going ahead. I mean, I should say, you know, the police were fine when they came in. They were reasonable. Nobody was injured. You know, there wasn't any violence, as was seen when the police raided the media centre during the G8 here. I mean, maybe I should also just quickly say that there's also a civil society events running in parallel, but within the WCIS framework, and on Thursday there's something called the World Forum on Communication Rights, which is being organised by some of the more progressive elements within civil society, and at that they'll be releasing statements on what they say should be a global communications charter, talking about communication rights and criticising such things as the targeting of journalists during conflicts, and also the targeting of civilian communication networks during conflict.
Was there any discussion about the embedding of journalists? Because we heard, I saw on the, I think it must have been the Miami Indie Media website last week, that journalists were embedded to cover the Miami protests. Is there any discussion about that?
There has been, both this morning and indeed during the eviction that occurred yesterday, while people were supporting those who were trapped inside with the police. The conference that should have been going on at that time effectively moved to outside the building where people were being held, and a laptop was set up and a film shown about these journalists who were embedded with the riot police in Miami for the FTAA. And whereas journalists who weren't embedded were kind of officially, you know, effectively told that they will be a target for police action, and indeed many of them were, and indeed many corporate and independent journalists were both injured and arrested. One interesting development here around the WCIS is that Reporters Sans Frontières, very very well respected group, were actually denied entry to the WCIS process, and have been holding almost daily press conferences here, being very critical of the WCIS, which they essentially say is a sham and a mockery of the agenda. But also they're then streaming their own pirate radio station into Switzerland from Paris. And that's one of a number of different radio streams which are going on. You can find out more about a lot of the web streams that are coming out of Geneva on the website www.geneva03.org or .net, and there's a lot of information up there about that. I mean, the number of issues that are being debated is actually too much to go into. You know, it's almost every kind of issue you could think of.
But just to summarise on the issues, Dave. I mean, WSIS talks about it being about information society, about being open, and all these things make it sound like, you know, free access to information, digital divide. It makes it sound really cuddly and friendly. Now, why is it that that's not actually the case?
Well, I mean, some people have been calling this WCIS actually the World Summit on Internet Structure, because it seems to be one of the main agendas is to talk about how to roll out the internet infrastructure across the world, effectively sort of saying how large corporations can make money out of the internet and media environment, whereas very little attention is actually being paid to the developmental issues. You know, some of the cartoons I've seen have been quite good. You know, the image of a starving African and then some guy in a suit standing next to him sort of saying, well, here you go, here's an internet connection. You know, we haven't got any electricity, you know, yeah. So on and so forth. So that there's a very serious implication of some of this also, which is on the one hand you have the UN, this kind of summit. This is the first time really that so many corporations have had direct access into the UN summit process, because normally they would be represented by their trade associations, but of course they're equal participants in this one. Other serious issues, one for example, is that this is a two-stage ongoing summit. So the next one will be in Tunisia in 2005, and the Tunisian summit is actually somebody who's been widely condemned as being responsible in Tunisia for the torture of many people. Tunisia has quite an appalling human rights record, including when it relates to freedom of speech. And again, for example, the reporters Sans Frontières have been incredibly critical of this, as have many people within civil society. And indeed, further than that, a lot of the declarations and agreements that are being talked about... Hello?
Hello, you're still there, don't worry.
Yep. A lot of the discussion and kind of official kind of process which has been going on within the World Summit, when they talk about human rights, they instead of holding the UN charters on human rights and so on and conventions on human rights as an example to strive for, they're often talking about whatever regime is applicable in a member country or in a host country. So they're kind of actually going backwards in UN terms of how they look at human rights.
Dave, has there been any mention of Guy Smallman when he was shot filming at the G8 summit? Was that covered at all in the targeting of journalists, considering it was right in Switzerland and he was filming a peaceful protest?
I don't think that was actually... It was discussed. I know it was discussed, but I don't think anything was actually presented. I mean, that particular session that was going on was sort of entitled InfoWar and was looking at the use of the media in conflict. And it just one of many sessions going on. You know, I mean, there have been discussions about the G8, but I mean, you know, only a very small, tiny part of it.
So it seems to be that what we're looking at with WSIS then is not really an attempt to create an open information society, but rather a information society that's controlled by a group of corporations. Is that the impression?
That's definitely definitely one of the main criticisms about it is simply that the developmental agenda and the human rights agenda has you know not been ignored, but people are saying it's being given lip service to you know, and I think the fact that it's proposed to be held in Tunisia in 2005 just demonstrates this plainly.
And the doors are closed to campaigners who are bringing up issues pertaining to human rights and freedom of speech.
Not strictly true. They have been involved in the process, and of course this is one of the things that the WSIS would say is that there has been a very high level of involvement from civil society NGOs who are concerned over these issues. But of course those NGOs and so on have been saying that it is simply lip service that is being paid to these issues.
Right. Okay.
I mean, it did look at one stage like civil society would walk out of the process, but they finally did agree some draft declarations, and I think that will come to fruition. But it's only been after many extended sessions of debate. There has been some movement, but you know, I think you'll find at the end of the week there will be a lot of very critical statements coming out of the civil society participants, and probably some more news about as people are researching into the background of the WSIS.
Well, we look forward to chatting to you some more next week, when hopefully you'll be back in London to tell us about what the outcome of this summit and the counter-summit has been.
Sure.
Thanks a lot for speaking with us live from Geneva this week, Dave.
Okay, thanks. And check out some of the streaming media and radio coming out of Geneva. There's some very good stuff.
We'll be giving details of that in a minute. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, bye. Bye.
Cheers, bye.
At me, you wanna see black, then jump on it. Until the chumps will think they might want it, I might spot you riding, dump on it. I send a couple of boys to that corner of yours and roll out with a nigga slumped on it. You see black fall back, son. We a shock up in a black regal, no insurance. We like DEA.
eight server warrants. So tell a freak you know to stop pouring. We gon' grab the mics and get them off the wall so everybody in here can stop snoring. You with a safe money, unlock it, pull it out your pocket. Ben Banneker Bay with the ammo rocket. Black order, all capitals like a sovereign. Girls, let your eyes back up, got the socket. Focus, flawless, New York to Europe. To lands where my feet ain't even touch the soil yet. With a movement, the rap solution. It thumps so hard, got a worldwide losing it. Tracks are black for satisfaction. A role of captain, played by Samuel L. Jackson. Yo, ill insanity that's cold and morbid. And when I'm in your orbit, your soul absorb it. A real raw nigga won't fold or forfeit. A thoroughbred going and force it. To reach where the beat's at, and where the people out they seats at. For what, cause y'all on it. I'm like Aquaman and Brown Hornet. I'm like Imhotep, but don't flaunt it. Dog reintroducing, master thespian. Hotelling this, hellin' this, MCing. Fuck getting money for real, get freedom. Black on the grind from AM to the PM. Splash up, dash up the X5BM. Motive entertainment, the Philly mob win. We card show, we not dim. What a nigga, T3, nigga by 10. When the ML get home, we gon' win. First thing to fall is cast with no chin. The mic, the black hole remains smoking. And ladies up in the place is wide open for real. Know what I'm talking about? Pull it out your pocket, pull it out your pocket, pull it out your pocket. Check it out.
You feel this shit, so as they throw it on. You feel this junk, is it your favorite song? You want to dance on, you wanna go in on. It's time to show it on, so throw your hands up. Say that, yeah. You feel this shit, so as they throw it on. You feel this shit, this junk, your favorite song. You want to dance on, you wanna go in on. It's time to show it on.
For South Philly, where the hammer's a clap, huh? Violating, you an answer to black. You a thug, not really, is an answer to that. Leah, box silly with the hand, still attack. Cancel your check, flip this man to your trap, huh? Want a pack, hand, hand, do your strap. You a schmuck type, shoot your man in the back. Meanwhile, I'm outstanding, and I'm outspoken. While I'll take fools out without joking. If I run out of shots, I'm going out poking. On a date with sis, we going out stroking. And the shot is fantastic, the fantastic is the romantic. Into the freaks in the house, if you're ready to bet. You can go to the flat and get tantric. Yeah, you pronounce the name Tyreek. Any questions? Street hip-hop, I bring forth the essence. You see us pulling up 5 deep with nothing but dimes inside of my Jeep. I'm not arguing to get in VIP. Cocksucker prick, suck a dick. I'm a floss for the fuck of it. Girl, say the boy black, be on some other shit. Nigga talk like he work for the government. My words worth like Barnes and Noble. Spit hot flames that'll harm your vocal. Spit thought name, I'ma bomb your local. Neighborness, 410 mile radius. Well, every ghetto cave in this new anthem, my brain unstable and I'm just too handsome. I bang with the best around. Who can test the ground when I finesse the sound?
That was a track by The Roots called Live at Work. You're still with Indie Media Radio London. We're on Resonance 104.4 FM. We've just got a few stories now from the UK Newswire, which is www.indiemedia.org.uk. Also go there if you want to check out some of the streams that Dave was just talking about from the World Summit on Information Society and the counter-conference organised around that.
Last Monday, 40 environmental campaigners, including 22 British Greenpeace members, protested at the site of a French nuclear plant at proposals to expand the facility and supply export markets. 10 wind turbines and a banner reading "No Nukes, Go Wind" were set up at the plant in Penly, Normandy. The activists were all arrested. The French government and energy company EDF plan to build another nuclear reactor at the plant, despite critics' claims that the plutonium-fuelled EPR reactor is particularly unsafe and will create damaging waste. Greenpeace campaigner Robin Oakley said, "We've done this because nuclear pollution does not respect borders. Europe is turning its back on nuclear power and has not seen a new plant built for years. But the French government seems determined to put us all at risk with this proposed reactor on the Channel Coast. Nuclear plants are extremely vulnerable. Today, protesters got in with ease. While one catastrophic accident is a constant risk, a disaster at a French plant could prove devastating for the British Isles."
And now, Iraq war on trial at High Court level in Bristol. A week-long hearing at High Court level will take place during January 2004 in Bristol to decide if the Iraq war broke either international law or British criminal law. A few days before the war in Iraq last March, five activists cut their way into Fairford Air Force Base in Gloucestershire. Phil Pritchard and Toby Aldwych, Josh Richards, tried to reach and disarm a B-52 bomber stationed there, waiting to attack Iraq. Paul Milling and Margaret Jones disabled trucks used for carrying bombs and tankers for fueling the planes. All five are charged with conspiracy and or criminal damage. However, each of the activists offers a lawful excuse, defence, that they aimed at preventing the crime of the war in Iraq. Therefore, in an unprecedented move, the question of whether the war was in fact illegal has to be considered at High Court level before the trials can go ahead. For more information on this, check the Bristol Indie Media site or www.fairfordpeacewatch.com.
And now a bit of a story about Deacon Dave. Deacon Dave Harvard was in court on Monday for his part in protesting illegal and immoral arms trading at the DSEI Arms Fair in September. He was charged with obstruction of the highway, but the case was dismissed as the arresting police officers failed to appear in court. Delinquents. Deacon Dave, 47, a father of three, has been a clergy person in the Church of England for 19 years, working on peace and justice issues. He currently attends St Mary's Church, Bramall Lane in Sheffield. He was in London playing with a Sheffield samba band when arrested. 156 peace activists were arrested during protests at the DSEI Arms Fair in London earlier this year. 3,000 police were brought in to police the event at an estimated cost of £2 million. Deacon Dave said on Monday, "It is a relief to have charges dropped, but it is outrageous that they were brought in the first place. Why should British taxpayers be funding a weapons fair to sell weapons with the which the vast majority of citizens believe are immoral and should be banned altogether?"
Amen.
We're
going to leave you now. We're going out on a radio piece that was posted to the IMC UK radio list from someone called Stefan Christoph, and it's an ISM show.
That's International Solidarity Movement.
Yes, that's right, International Solidarity Movement. And it goes out on various radio stations around the Middle East, and we thought we'd go out on this particular show. Hope that you'll be listening next week on Resonance FM 104.4. In the meantime, check out indiemedia.org.uk.
Yeah, and stop shopping for Christmas.
See you next week.
Bye.
This is Stefan Christoph reporting from Amman, Jordan. I travelled to Jordan 2 weeks ago to work in Palestine with the International Solidarity Movement. The International Solidarity Movement is a Palestinian-led organisation which facilitates campaigns of non-violent direct action against the daily workings of the Israeli occupation, such as taking direct action to tear down sections of the apartheid wall, which is currently being constructed from the north of the West Bank to the south, which will also eventually annex 20 to 40% of West Bank land. I attempted to enter Israel this last Saturday and was refused entry and deemed a security threat to the state of Israel. Since then, I've been in Jordan staying with Palestinian students from Gaza and visiting the Palestinian refugee camps throughout Jordan, which are home to hundreds of thousands of Palestinian refugees displaced in the wars of 1948 and 1967. These camps are the living memory of Palestinian refugees who live day to day waiting and fighting to return to Palestine. The recently negotiated Geneva Accord signs away the right of return for these thousands of Palestinian refugees throughout the Arab world, many thousands here in Jordan. I'm here in Amman with a Palestinian student from Gaza. He's studying in Amman. His name is Halil Franji. My first question for Halil is his opinion on the recently negotiated Geneva Accord. One of the main issues of the Geneva Accord was the right of return. Palestinian politicians were asked to sign away this right. What is your opinion on this?
It's logical to refuse the Geneva Accord because people who signed this treaty do not have the right to give up these rights. So I think that these people have the right to give their ideas, whatever it was, without talking about consent and rights, human rights, and basic. such as the right of return?
One of the main things, again, negotiated away with the Geneva Accord is the right of return. How do you feel about that? Politicians of the Palestinian Authority are attempting to negotiate away this right of thousands of refugees here in Jordan, in Syria, in Lebanon, and scattered throughout the world. Do you think that it's legitimate for the Palestinians, the Palestinian Authority, to negotiate away this right? Why is the right of return so central and so important to the Palestinian struggle?
So you can find the answer when you visit the camps, because you can see the temporary station situation. Yani, you can find the answer really in the streets. You can feel it in the in them faces. Yani, the refugees, the kids, the guys, the old men. Yani, I think all of the refugees.
So when you visit the camps here in Jordan, and you ask about the right of return, these again are displaced refugees from 1948, 1967. You know, what are the answers that you get when you ask about the right of return?
The we must return, and the it's a temporary station, you know, a situation, you know, that just we are here. And we are hold on all of the difficulties and lies to just return back to Palestine.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, the refugee camps in Jordan constitute, you know, a large segment of the Palestinian refugee population. Can you maybe speak about some of the camps here in Jordan, close to Amman, Jordan's capital, Bega camp, different camps around the country? Can you describe what the camps look like, the conditions?
Very difficult things, Yeni. They don't have enough service, like education, like employment. There's many guys, they can't find the good jobs, and they working in also in the capital, and very, very very bad jobs. They don't have enough service.
Maybe speak about your life in Gaza. You're a Palestinian student living in Amman. You're from Gaza City. Can you speak about your daily life in Gaza? What is it like? I mean, you're here in Amman. You describe the conditions of the refugee camps. You know, there are hundreds of thousands of Palestinian refugees here in Jordan. But maybe speak about your life in Gaza, the Gaza Strip.
When I arrived here to Amman, I found big difference between life, between Gaza and Amman. Amman as a city, as a capital, but the between the camps in Jordan and the camps in Gaza, also there's a big difference because the camps here in Jordan, it's more poor than Gaza. They get in Gaza, the camps in Gaza Strip, they get enough service, the enough education, everything. I think because all of the media and all of the people around the world, they have enough information about camps inside Palestine. Also, the jobs, it's better than Jordan. I say that just in the camps, not in the cities in Amman. We have in Gaza. I'm an refugee, from the refugees from Gaza. But I live in the city, not in the camp. But when you do around in Gaza, and you can find the markets, the streets, it's better than here at the camps in Jordan. I think also because the main center for the United Nations, it was in Vienna, they move it to Gaza Strip. I think for that, they will give the camps in Gaza more important, in spite of all of the conditions we live in it, in these conditions, I think the life in Gaza, it's better than Jordan, because all of the refugees, they live in a part of Palestine, not like the Jordanian, the Palestinian refugees in Jordan or in Syria or in Lebanon. That will make them work hard, and they can hold the difficult fight to retain our lands. And also, we are in the refugees in Gaza and West Bank. we feel with the Palestinian refugees and the different camps outside Palestine, because also it's one of the reasons we fight as Palestinian.
Given the fact that you said life in terms of employment and economic opportunity perhaps is better in Gaza than it is for in some ways better in Gaza than it is for Palestinian refugees in the camps of Jordan and so on. Can you maybe just describe some situations in Gaza? One thing in particular, the freedom of movement.
It's not safely to move in Gaza. When I want to travel to Amman, before 1.5 months, I think, I crossed just 40 kilometers from my home to the Rafah border.
With
Egypt, yeah. It takes with me 12 hours, just 40 kilometers. But the Israeli, make Gaza at parts, every 15 kilometers, there's a cross point. Leave us stand, stay at the ground under the sun. There's nothing to cover us. It was very hot. This is the difference between the refugees camps and Gaza Strip and West Bank and the Jordanian and the Syria and Lebanon. So. With this difficulty, we will fight and fight to get our rights.
I have one more question. Why is it important for people in Montreal, people in Canada, to support those Palestinians who are fighting for their basic rights, their land, their culture, their dignity as people?
Because I'm one of the people in Palestine. I like to live in peace. Like to fight, Really, I'm fighting just to keep my rights, to have also all of my rights. Anyone from Canada, from USA, if he come to Palestine, he will find we are lovely people. I think it's. I told you that we are like peace, all of us. But there's also one thing that that the kids in Gaza or in West Bank grow up and around them.